Okay, the pastor asked me if I would introduce Phil Bell. I don't know. I guess it's because we're about the same age.
Yeah.
But Phil and I go back a long ways, right? And,
yes.
And our first connection I can remember with Phil Bell is through InterVarsity.
Yes.
He was involved in InterVarsity as a student.
Yes.
And then when they took up housekeeping in Macomb, I think they turned their house into the place for the InterVarsity students to come. And that just was different timing that I was there involved with InterVarsity.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking about InterVarsity, and I don't want to take a lot of his time, but we had, while I was still advisor to InterVarsity, and Mary Jane will tell you the details of the date, but we had a 50-year celebration. And at that time, we invited the faculty member, an elderly lady, that had been involved in starting InterVarsity. And we think today about how Christian organizations and so forth are discriminated against. She and a fellow colleague over in the library wanted to start a chapter of InterVarsity on campus and gone to the administration. And the administration said, no, we already have one Christian organization, the YMCA. On campus, we really didn't need another one. But they did allow them to meet. They met in her classroom, and she had an office. The Sherman Hall at that time was built with a classroom and then an office for the faculty that used the classroom. She was not allowed to meet with the group. She was not allowed to talk to the group or do anything like that other than on individual students. She was in her office because they had to have some representative of the faculty to observe any kind of organization. So 70 years ago, probably 60 at least, there was still some resistance to the existence of Christian activity. So InterVarsity, and Phil and I have great love for InterVarsity. He was a leader for a long time as well, right? You were yes. Advisor for a long time.
I was vice president.
Okay, so this is Phil Bell. And we get a report from Phil Bell because of my wife. I thank her for that, watching some of his posts. And we know some of his jokes, so we're going to watch to see if we hear the same ones again or if we get new ones this morning. So, Phil, the morning is yours.
Thank you. Before I go on, would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that I'm able to be here today, and I pray that you would help me to speak clearly and understandably, and that you receive all the glory from what I say, that you are our focus today on this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. First, I'd like to thank Pastor Scott and the entire church for allowing me to come to talk to you today. And before I go on, I'd like to introduce my wife of more than 43 years. And I met her in InterVarsity. And she and I planned that 50-year celebration. And the theme was Bridge Over Troubled Waters. I will lie me down. Indicating Christ is our bridge between God and sinful humankind. But he also is a bridge between generations. So, Nancy, would you please stand? She is my sole caregiver, wife, and best friend, and keeps me in line.
You kind of doubt that last part.
Yeah. Would you tell me when I've got to be done by again?
10:15.
Thank you. I can do that. When I gave my final sermon at University Baptist Church, I went a half hour long. I am here primarily to thank you for your prayers for Nancy and I. It is Nancy's commitment to Christ and her marriage vows unto me that permit me to even be here today. And God's grace, we serve a gracious God. He has been gracious to me. Most of you know my story, but in case some of you don't, let me recap my experience. On January 4th, 2012, I was pastor of University Baptist Church in Macomb, Illinois. It was a Wednesday. I had been home for lunch, and I went back to the church, mainly to finish my Bible study for that night, but also to take down some Christmas garland. So after I had prepared my study, I grabbed a hammer to take out some nails that we had put in with. And as I was taking it down, my legs felt wobbly. So I went down to the floor before I fell. As I lay there, my only thought was, how am I going to get back on my feet? And I knew I couldn't do it. So I was laying there. Well, we have 12-step groups that meet at our church. And one of my friends from AA came by. He was coming to a meeting. He knelt down beside me. He said, "Pastor Phil, I've got help coming." I thought he meant help to get me back on my feet, but he meant he'd called 911 because he saw me laying there with a hammer close to my hand near my head. Well, Nancy had a meeting before the service that night, and I had not come home for supper when she thought I would. And so she came to see why. She got there at the same time as the paramedics. They got me on a stretcher, and they kept asking me things like, "What's your name? What's your birth date? Do you know where you are? Do you know what day this is? And who is the President of the United States?" I found out paramedics do not have much of a sense of humor, because I said, "For all I know, he's the Antichrist." They did not laugh. So they told Nancy that they thought maybe I'd had a stroke. And she rode with me to the hospital. When we got there, they did a CT scan, and they told her, yes, I'd had a stroke in my right hemisphere, and it was quite possible I would not live through the night, and they were going to life-flight me. Would you rather they life-flight me to Peoria or to Springfield? She chose Peoria because my brother and sister-in-law live in Matamora, which is close. But the thought went through her mind. She knows Springfield better, and the shopping is better in Springfield. But God directed her to Peoria, because I ended up with the head of the Illinois Neurological Institute as my doctor. I would not have gotten that in Springfield. So some of our church people took her there, because in the helicopter, I remember that one of the people said, "We're arriving, call his wife to let her know." That was not the way you want to take your first helicopter ride, I'm here to tell you. So when we got to OSF, they did another CT scan, confirming that it indeed it had struck right hemisphere of my brain. And they told me that they did not expect me to live through the night. But they did not know the God we serve. He fooled them. Nancy called our younger son, who lives in northern Wisconsin. He literally drove all night to get there. And the next morning, I was alive and they had been proven wrong. Thanks to God. And they told Andy and Nancy, there are three options. One, the problem is his brain is swelling and the pressure will kill him. One is we could do nothing and he'll probably die. Two, we could use medication, which generally does not work. Or three, we can do a craniectomy, meaning to cut a slab out of my skull and let the brain swell. And then when it goes down, put the slab back in. That's what they chose. I don't need that, thank you, though. So they cut a slab out of it. You can see the scar. And it did save my life. But the brain didn't quit swelling soon enough. So they had to freeze the slab for later implantation. And then they started to do rehab. I had to wear a helmet to protect the open area. And I shouldn't have, but I could reach up and feel my brain. That's an odd sensation. And then they wanted to know where I wanted to be transferred to for rehab and recovery. And we chose Heartland Healthcare in Macomb. I went there with my helmet. But I need to tell you, while I was laying on the floor at the church, I thought it was really strange that somebody had laid down beside me because I could feel their arm. And I decided it had to be somebody else because I did not feel that I was feeling my arm, because the stroke left me incontinent, unable to swallow, slurred speech, and paralyzed on the left side of my body. So I'd been feeling my arm, not knowing it. So there in Heartland in Macomb, they started therapy on me. And people would come to visit, and they would read out of the Bible to me, because I could not do it myself. But it is a great place. because the therapists there were the best in Macomb. No question about it. And the speech therapists are the best kind of therapists. They teach you to talk and to eat, and you don't need to do any more in life. So I learned to talk soon. But I also learned you have to see the humor in things, because if you don't, all you do is cry, because it's too miserable otherwise. When I was in Peoria, my niece came to see me. Her name is Amber. I have two nieces. I was told each of them that they were the second favorite, but I did not tell them who was first. So Amber came in and she said, "Uncle Phil, it's your favorite niece." I could not talk, so I went like that. And one time in Heartland, I had lost my nurse's call button in the middle of the night. So I raised my hand and it worked. One of the nurses going by saw it and came in. Same thing happened the next night. I raised my hand. I heard somebody say, "You better go see what he wants. He's got his hand in the air again." So I slowly got better, and I had gone to Holland with a feeding tube in, but they were able to take it out, and I began to eat. Like I say, taught me to eat and to talk, and now the common thinking is I eat too much and talk too much. But God was gracious. And on July the 5th, my wonderful wife, Nancy, took me home to care for. And that was the second most important day in my life. The first was actually the third. The first most important was when I found Jesus as my Savior. Second was the marriage day. And third was probably birth of our first son. Fourth, birth of our second son. And that was the fifth most important day, to go home. Someday it'll be a better day because I go home. Amen. To my Father in heaven. I just want to say, Nancy started Caring Bridge, and now there are churches praying for me in three countries on three continents and more than 10 states that we know of. And prayer is the best thing you can do. You may have heard somebody say, "I can't do much, but at least I can pray." Prayer is not a least. It is a must. The most you can do for anybody is to pray for them. So I want to thank you, along with all those others praying for me and for Nancy. That's why I'm here, is to say thank you. You know, in Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it says that as many as who had believed, they had all things in common. Well, it meant possessions, but also they had in common victories and sorrows. So that's how I feel about you. You share my calamity, and you share my saw us, and I thank you for that. Someday, I intend to walk back up here and stand on my feet and tell you this is that guy you saw sitting in a wheelchair. He is now able to stand, and not just with one hand, but with the left one also. So you wait for that day. Because God is going to heal me, either in this life or when I meet him in the air. I have my preference, but I'll praise him either way. So again, thank you so much for your prayers and allowing me to come and thank you. I'd better quit. Because we don't want 2 hours of this. Yeah. They went back to put it in. I told them, just be careful that you get the right one. Don't want no Cardinals fans slab in my head. And they assured me they had. But they told me that they had put a little cardinal symbol in the skull. I now have a Backlund fund pump, which, because my biggest problem is spasticity, and the pump pumps medicine into my spine, which helps reduce the spasticity. I really am done now. Thank you again. Thank you, Pastor.
You know, Nancy, would you come here? And I'd like just anyone that'd like to gather around this couple and pray for them. Would you come forward? Come on. Just come up here. And we've got all kinds of time. I can't believe he quit early.
No, I can't either.
Don't expect me to do that.
But Pastor, you don't get those extra 15.
Now we'll make sure we get them up.
Hey, if come sure one, come all. We'll pack them in here. And come on down. Let's get right around them. They can tell the humans are here, the believers. And,
yeah. Well, this is such a praying church, and you can tell this is a praying church.
Come on in here, you guys. Let's get out. Let's just
really
crowd them. Let's crowd them. I'm going to pray, and then like I say, we've got all kinds of time. Just anybody that feels so led, brief prayer, longer prayer.
If you don't mind me interrupting it.
Go right
ahead. Intervarsity, they call this popcorn prayer.
Okay.
It pops up here, over there, and over there. So.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the testimony of this man and his wife, Phil Bell and Nancy. And what a blessing I know they've been over the years, just the little bit that I've gotten to know them. What a blessing of a testimony, Lord, that he has this calamity, as he calls it, and he still praises your name. And has a perspective of not just here and now, but forever, where one day we will be perfectly whole beyond our imagination. And what a testimony, Lord, of this wife, Nancy, who loves him and has stayed by him and truly fulfilled what you speak of as a helpmeet. Bless her, Lord. Bless Phil. Father, we don't know what your plans are for him physically. Mentally, for the rest of his time on this earth, for either of them, for any of us, as far as that goes, Lord. But in the context of your will be done, we pray for healing and strengthening for him. That if it would be your will, that he would one day stand on his feet and walk down that aisle and remind us of the guy who sat in the wheelchair. But regardless of that, Lord, the testimony, the glorious gospel, the shining light of Jesus Christ, whether standing on our feet, sitting in a chair, or in a wheelchair, goes forth. And thank you that you brought that to us through Phil. and through Nancy this morning. Amen.
Father, you are so faithful. I just praise your name for your faithfulness and ask you to bless this body of believers. Give them growth, both in the knowledge and wisdom of you, but also in number, and supply their needs physically as well as spiritually. That's my prayer, that you would meet every need and help them to uphold their pastor so that he is able to be their shepherd, representing you before them. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, that Phil and Nancy have been able to make it out today and come to be with us and share the testimony that Phil has given. We ask that you would give them both strength each day to face the challenges of the day. And we ask that and know that Phil's testimony is an inspiration to us also to meet the challenges of the day that we have ahead of us. So we're thankful, Lord, and the strength that you've given Phil and Nancy. And help us to continue to pray for them. And we just are just thankful, Lord, that we can do this for them and help them in this way. And we ask, Lord, that the churches that are praying for him and the Christians all over in several states and countries, that you would just continue to bless your people this day. In Jesus' name.
Father, I praise you for all the people that Phil has touched in his lifetime. I pray for all those who came to know Jesus as Savior through InterVarsity because of his work and influence there. I pray, Father, for those he's going to continue to meet day by day the rest of his life. And I just pray that all of these people would come to glorify your Son because of Phil.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this reminder that we don't know what's going to happen the next second, the next minute, but we know what will happen in eternity.
Amen.
So, Father, we focus to that far in knowing that Jesus as our Savior has provided for that eternal life, and we accept him as our Savior and our Lord. Father, we do thank you for Phil and Nancy. Can't imagine the burden that she's been carrying in love. Father, we just ask that you continue to bless her and give her the honor and rewards that she deserves. Thank you for Phil's, especially his good sense of humor. It brightens our lives as we look at some of the things that we at this present stage think of tragedies. Difficulties. Yet we know that you love us and that you are sovereign God and that your will be done, and we wouldn't want any desire anything more. We have our own wishes. We express them to you. You honor us for that. We watch for your answer to prayer, but we know you are a sovereign God and your answer will be as perfect as you are. So we do ask for blessings for this congregation as well as for Bill and Nancy. In Jesus' name.
Father, I just thank you that you've brought Phil and Nancy this far. It's been a long journey, and we know there have been dark days. Father, we just thank you that you have allowed him to recover as much as he has. We do ask that that continue, Lord, that your will be done in their lives. Father, we also want to thank you that all of us can see through his testimony and Nancy's that even in our darkest hour, you are there. That you are human and that you understand our condition, and that you never leave us or fail us, that you are truly faithful in all situations, and we can thank you even when things don't look the way we want them to. Thank you, Father, that you give us that hope and that faith and that peace that we can face the difficulties that this world has. We thank you that Phil and Nancy were able to share with us today. We mm-hmm. ask that you continue to use them to mm-hmm. be a testimony for you mm-hmm. from this day forward.
Heavenly Father, you are such a great God, and we thank you so much for your perfect redemption that touched our lives mm-hmm. and that made this gathering today in Tennessee at Faith Fellowship possible. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of sharing people's struggles, and we thank you, Lord, for Nancy and for Phil. And we pray that you would be strong for them as you have been, Lord, that you would lift them up, mm-hmm. that they would continue to fight the good fight, mm-hmm. Lord. And Father, you've put darkness to shame today mm-hmm. by this vibrant testimony. Mm-hmm. Lord, thank you for your joy unspeakable mm-hmm. and full of glory that will follow Phil mm-hmm. Through to the very end, Lord. And we mm-hmm. praise you for Nancy. Yes. Thank you so much that you gave him the perfect helpmeet, mm-hmm. Lord. Lift her up and encourage her, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we continue to thank you for being able to see Phil as he is today. We see him talking to us and explaining all about his journey with you through this situation. And we just think of each day of progress that they experienced together, and for those therapists that we're able to work with him and help him, and that he's been able to accomplish and come to where he is today. And we thank you for your promise that in your time, you do make all things beautiful, and that it may be here on this earth, and that's what we pray for Phil, but mm-hmm. that also the complete healing will come when he is home with you, and we thank you for that, Father.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Phil and Nancy today mm-hmm. and their testimony to you. Mm-hmm. We praise you, Father, that we had a little part in this. Mm-hmm. I thank you that we can bring our petitions to you, mm-hmm. such as Phil and Nancy, and see the results, yes. Father. We just pray that you would comfort them and give them healing powers.
Yes.
And we thank you for the testimony of a mature mm-hmm. marriage.
Yes, yes. Praise God. Mm-hmm.
And we just thank you for the church, Father, and mm-hmm. help us, guide us, direct yes. us, and help us to continue with your testimony. In Christ's name.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the witness and the testimony of Bill Mel. We just thank you for the power of prayer mm-hmm. and we'll lean on you. Mm-hmm. Lean on you mm-hmm. for understanding. You will answer and hear us.
Amen.
Amen.